I'm speaking with Sagoyeta. Sagoyeta is a member of the Traditional Men's Council, also known as the Warrior Society in Akwesasne. He is a member of the Turtle Clan. Sagoyeta, welcome to No One Is Legal Radio.
Thank you.
Sagoyeta, I'm wondering if we can start with you explaining the basic position of yourself, of the Traditional Men's Council, and of the community of Akwesasne vis-a-vis the proposed arming of border agents, CBSA border agents, on June 1st, 2009.
I guess I can start by explaining that. What's going on is actually an initiative by the people. They're very concerned about the border guards carrying the guns because of the various incidents that happened at this particular border of the abuses that CBSA has done upon our people. And they said that this new legislation was a rule all across Canada to arm all border guards by the year 2016. And the people are very concerned, not only because of the abuses, but because of the location of this customs house, which is in residential area, and they're concerned that somebody will not be careful of what their job actually is over there, and they may shoot or whatever, and it may go into the residential area here. So their concern is that there's no whatsoever gun that should be allowed in this area. And our people, as traditional people, we're there to support whatever the people decide, whatever they want to do. And we have to listen to people and make sure that we conduct ourselves with respect and making sure everything is good, that no harm is coming to our people. And there's a lot of talk in the media that this is the Warrior Society. I mean, I've heard talk that, you know, the Warrior Society has taken over and blockaded the bridge and done this and that, but everybody's going to get to who we are. Have not taken any forefront initiative. We're just there monitoring the situation. Hopefully, everything will go to the benefit of what the people want. And we are not there to be aggressive or in any sense. They said that we're armed and dangerous, as they portrayed all throughout the years. We're only there as a mechanism to enforce what the people want, and hopefully everything is calm and nobody gets hurt. And I hope the Canadian people understand that it was not the people of Gawinogue, which is Cornwall Island, that have blocked the bridges. It was the police forces of Canada and the United States who have blocked and not allowing our people free access back and forth. There is some access, but they're not allowing the people free access. And it's portrayed out there that it was not only the people, but the Warrior Society who took the initiative to block the bridges.
So can you describe for our listeners the situation exactly in Akwesasne right now? Is the bridge open? Is free movement possible? Are there border agents that are at their stations on the Canadian side? Can you describe for us the situation as we speak right now on the evening of June 3rd, 2009, to more than 2 days now since the deadline for CBSA agents to be armed in the community of Akwesasne at the so-called Port of Cornwall?
Well, I don't know if anybody knows out there the situation, what happened as of June 1st when they said they were going to do this initiative to arm CBSA agents at what they called the Port of Entry in Cornwall. Midnight of June 1st, CBSA agents left, abandoned the building. They say in fear of their safety of their agents, but they abandoned this building, and the building sits there. The native guards who they hired to help make sure everything is okay with the agents are there watching the building. The people still are entrenched around the building, and everything was just quiet, except for the sight of the helicopters and the airplanes, which are flying over, doing whatever, taking pictures, I assume. But everything is pretty quiet and peaceful there. Everybody's, you know, getting along. In fact, like in all places, in all NATO communities, there seems to be a division of whatever, political division. But right now, everybody is has the same goal and working for the same thing. As far as blocking of the bridges, right now you can leave Cornwall Island going over and leave that portion of Akwesasne to go to the other portion of the territory, which you have to go through what is called U.S. Customs, which incidentally also sits on our land. It belongs to us. So you can leave, but they will not allow you to go back home. So if you want to go back home, you have to find another alternative to go back home. And as far as going into what do you consider the city of Cornwall in Canada, there's access. As long as you are a native person, at this point, you can have the access to move from the island to the city of Cornwall and vice versa. So everything right now is calm and quiet. You know, people are having a nice time to be socializing with each other, and it hasn't happened in quite a while. So as far as the people are concerned, everything here is good. You know, there's no issue of border guards carrying weapons.
Sagoyeta, a member of the Akwesasne Mohawk Territory government band council chief, Larry King, has stated that the CBSA is a foreign oppressive force who occupies our sovereign community and territory. They are unwelcome, uninvited, and now carrying firearms. For lack of a different description, that is considered by some an act of war. I'm wondering, in light of this comment by a member of your community, if you can add to that comment, do you consider the arming of CBSA border guards to be an act of war? Do you agree that the CBSA is a foreign oppressive force who occupies your sovereign community and territory?
I guess I can agree with his statement pretty much. Anywhere else, if you have an entity who comes into your country and has weapons which your people do not want in that situation, I guess you could consider it a kind of act of war. The issue is, I know the issue is kind of clouded because you're talking about weapons and guns within our territory, and I think it's a bigger issue. It's an issue of whether my people and all in Ungwenhuma people, Native people, can pass freely. You know, the border was set up long ago, and the only consideration it took, and a lot of people talk about the Jay Treaty, where Article 7 of the Jay Treaty allowed free passage for a people to pass unhindered back and forth on the so-called border, and our people told them that, well, that border for our people does not exist. That's something between Britain and the United States at that time, and now Canada has to assume the same responsibility that Britain had, and they should be honoring this thing. So in essence of act of war, yeah, you could say it was an act of war because the weapons that are to be brought in our territory. And right now, as I said before, there are no weapons from CBSA officers in there. So as far as the only weapons that are there are the Band Council Police Force, who are also protecting this building here. Yeah, we've always considered CBSA, a foreign aggressive force. And as far as we were concerned, you know, they continue, like I said, they continue to harass our people, and we question them as to what right they have to harass our people when their building was put upon our territory, right in the middle of our territory. And then they want to dictate us to whether our people can move back and forth there, or they have to rely on the laws of Canada, which really don't apply to our people. And I think that's more an act of war, and it's been an act of war since CBSA has been in the middle of our territory.
Sagoyete, I'm wondering if you could speak about the history of resistance in Akwesasne that goes back certainly decades and decades, but specifically the battles and the struggles at the border that go back at least 40 years, back to 1968. I'm wondering if that context and that history is in your minds, especially in the minds of members of the Traditional Men's Council, as you enter into this current struggle to oppose and resist the arming of border guards in Akwesasne.
Well, I think it's always been in a lot of our minds as traditional people because of the various incidents that happened here in Akwesasne with the Canadian government. Not only the Canadian government, the American government, because Akwesasne lies, I guess it's a unique situation where Canada feels they have a jurisdiction with two provinces, Quebec and Ontario, and New York State, part of the United States, feel that they have a part of jurisdiction in our territory also. So it's a very unique situation where we're surrounded by two countries and a state and two provinces. So so there are various differences that happen between us and these various agencies and governments. It happened a long time ago. I know people don't know the history of here of Akwesasne that much, but the struggle and fight that's gone on between especially the traditional people has been ongoing. Jake Ice, who was a traditional person, and which at that time he was a part of a traditional people who call themselves the Longhairs, and he was shot by RCMP officers here, questioning their jurisdiction of what's happening. So, and as you mentioned, the border in '68. You know, I was just a little boy at the time, but I was there. The same thing. It's a situation where this 41 years ago, this was happening. And the same issue was happening then as it is now. So the problems and the issues that are happening are not new, they're constant. And for 41 years, since 1968, the same treatment that Customs and Canada have been using our people has happened. And so there has been a lot of different disputes and incidences, and we've always stated as traditional people that we have our own government, our own laws, our own structure, and that we are not Canadians, we are not Americans. The comment that came out from Chief Larry King of the Canadian Band Council, you know, is kind of a new thing where they're now saying that this is an act of war when their very existence is imposed by the Canadian government. But at this time, we seem to be having the same stance here, which is good. Although we do have some ideological differences on our views of who we are and what we are, at this particular time, we're basically standing together. Band council, and they have a tri-council, which is the band council, the American, so-called American Tribal Council, and what is called the Mohawk Nation Council of Chiefs, you know, and the Mohawk Nation Council of Chiefs is also a traditional structure, and the three are working together, which they call a tri-council, and the Ganyangahagaganosisne Men's Council represents another traditional group, and who we really try to stick to the fact that who we are, we're We believe we're an independent people, an independent nation, whereas the other, we question a lot of things they're doing. But right now, the situation of what's happening, we're all seem to be on the same goal, and the Men's Council is there, like I said earlier, to support what the people's decision was, you know, and people tend to say that leadership of this community has to make decisions and discussions with the Canadian government or the United States government. But the real thing is that people have to understand that leadership here is all only the voice of the people. When the people make a decision, that's what has to be carried out. And the people have made this decision that there will be no firearms carried by customs agents on our territory.
Sagoyete, I'm wondering if you could, I mean, you've alluded already to how, as a little boy, you remember the resistance on the International Seaway Bridge to defend the sovereignty of Mohawks and Akwesasne to travel between the so-called the border as per the Jay Treaty. But you've also referenced Jake Ice, which goes back much longer to 1899, 110 years ago. And I'm just wondering if you could speak more about the story of Jake Ice and how that is in the minds of people. I know his statue in the territory has a sign on it that says, "We don't want guns," or words to that effect. And I know he's been referenced over and over again about what can happen if CBSA border guards are armed. And referencing a story from 110 years ago is not something you hear about all the time. So there's quite an awareness of that history in the territory of Akwesasne. Could you tell us more about that?
Well, I guess the story of Jake Ice is probably the story of today. You know, the oppression that an entity of the Canadian government here is trying to impose their authority upon our people. And Jake Ice was a member, like I had stated before, of traditional people called the Longhair Society. And they bucked the authority of what the Canadian government felt they had here. At one time, during that time, they tried to establish an agency here. And for a long time, there was RCMP officers situated within our territory and trying to enforce Canadian law. And so Jake Ice, and not only Jake Ice, but other members opposed what was happening and openly opposed it, as is going on today, for whatever reason, his opposed. And during that time, there were different members of with Jake Ice who were jailed for, I guess, rebelling against the Canadian government. And he just happened to be one focal point, which he was shot and killed during one of these oppositions. So I think that keeps in the mind of the people, you know. Here was somebody who opposed the Canadian government and used words of opposition and was shot. And I think that lays in the minds of people, what's going to happen when the CBSA officers are armed and there's a dispute? And like I said, the abuses have happened over and over on this so-called border. And they're worried that one of our young people or one of our older people are going to be shot, injured, shot just because of a mistake. And trying to enforce the so-called Canadian law within our territory. And I know a lot of Canadians out there question why the law only applies to them and not to our people. Well, our people never asked for that, never approved that law. And we have our own ways, our own laws, and a lot of it deals with respecting people, you know. It's like the cry that goes out today. I've heard a lot of radio shows in the recent days and antagonizing people and edging people on to, you know, enforce this Canadian law. And it's happened for over 100 years there, starting with, even before Jake Ice, you know. Our people lived along the St. Lawrence River and lived with amongst our laws, never with any kind of other outside entity in trying to enforce their law. In fact, the British and the French always tried to entrench our people into cooperating with them, that they would be on their side. And our people always listened, you know, and the waterways which are happening, which in fact have been interrupted through the years with the seaway, a good point is Gunawaga, you know, that seaway, like the border here, runs directly in our territory. And trying to have enforcement on our lands is something that the people know, and if they don't know the traditional ways or values throughout the years, they have back in their mind that this is our land, that we're sovereign people, and we want to exist here undisturbed. So there is a big history on conflict of this kind in our territory. And not only in our territory, it's in all territories across what people consider Canada. You know, the struggles are basically the same. This main focal point comes because it's a Canadian entity as far as CBSA that exists right in the middle of our territory and trying to justify how they can enforce Canadian laws.
Sagoyete, I'm wondering if you could speak about what the traditional men's council is prepared to do if the Canadian government insists on imposing armed border agents at Akwesasne. There's been a lot of speculation, as you've already alluded to, in the radio stations and mainstream media, a lot of it very sensationalist. You've already described the situation whereby the role of the traditional men's council, as you've described it, is to adhere to the wishes of the community. And so far, things have been very calm and peaceful. But I'm wondering, insofar as you can talk about it, what is the traditional men's council prepared to do to prevent the arming of border agents?
Well, I guess that's really a tough question to answer, and to say that what anybody is prepared to do. And like I stated before, our main objective is to make sure nobody gets hurt in this incident. And if CBSA or the Canadian government wish to pursue that and try to do that, I think that will come in time as to what happens. I think as far as the people are concerned, they're saying no guns at this port of entry. And we're basically supporting whatever the people feel, and it's hard to say what's going to happen until it actually happens. You know, there's a lot of talk in the media about how the armed warrior society is portrayed, but you know, our warrior society are men of our nation. We're fathers, we're uncles, we're cousins, we're husbands. And like any other nation around, we will do what we have to do to protect our country. And the question only imposes, what will Canada do? You know, what will the policing agencies, the government, what will they attempt to do? Hopefully, better minds will proceed over anything that happens, and we'll be able to discuss the situation. But as I said, our people at this point are not hindering from their decision that there will be no guns. And Peter Van Loon, who is a public safety minister, insists that guns will be there. And in fact, I really think, you know, there's questions going on what's going to go on. I think we should send a letter of thank you to this public safety minister, Peter Van Loon, for saying that as long as the weapons are not issued to CBS agents, that border port will be closed. So, you know, it's a good thing that he's stating this thing, because there are no weapons there. The border is closed now. So the issue seems to be agreeable on both sides. You know, he's not going to have his men there out of the border open until weapons are with CBS agents, and our people are saying there are going to be no weapons there by CBS agents. So right now, it's closed. It's peaceful there. Traffic hasn't been flowing like it was, but people are happy that this is the situation now, and we're dealing with whether Canada or the United States wants to impose an embargo upon our people, whether to get back to their home. And so everybody is doing what they have to do. And as you ask me, what will we do? Well, I think that will come with the situation of what will Canada do. Will Canada respect us and talk to us and listen to our concerns over incidents that have happened at this particular border, and our concerns of something just might happen there? As far as what are we going to do, we are going to continue to do what the people ask us to do.
So, Goyete, in terms of how this situation will be resolved, I guess it's a matter of some speculation. The Canadian government is insisting that their CBSA agents be armed. As you have said, the community is united in saying they don't want armed agents. But in mainstream media reports, and I'm critical of those reports, but nonetheless, in them, there are some indications of possible solutions, quote-unquote. For example, members of the band council, and to be clear, as you've stated before, these are band councils that operate within the government system, both in the United States and in Canada. But members of the band council have alluded to the fact that the Canadian government has intended for all border agents to be armed by the year 2016, and it's being done in stages. So there's still plenty of years to wait before they can be armed. And moreover, at least one person has stated that if border agents are given proper cultural training, maybe they'll get arms. I'm wondering if you could speak to those possible solutions that have been put forward by people, by virtue of their band council position, are in some sort of negotiating position with Peter Van Loan and with the Canadian government.
Well, as far as I know, these are various situations that have been presented by band council. But as I stated, it's the people who have the say of what's going to go on, and the people definitely say there will be no arming of border guards. And so, I mean, as far as any kind of agreement or whatever, it's the people who make that decision. It's not me as a member of the men's council. It's not a band council so-called chief who has been elected to decide what kind of decision is going to be made and agreement is going to be made. The people are right now are saying no, and it's no. There's no other decision that can be made. You know, Canada and CBSA has to understand that this border crossing sits in our territory, and there's a lot of talk of them, well, maybe we should move this border to Cornwall on the other side of our territory. But as we had discussions earlier on, before all this came about, the Men's Council had discussions with CBSA and informed them that our territory and the ownership of the land in Cornwall also belongs to our people. So they're put in the same situation as our people, and if they think things are going to be stronger and tighter there, you know, there's another question. But as far as there's talk of other agreements, all it is talk. You know, everybody's looking to some kind of solution, but they got to understand and respect the people's decision that there is going to be no guns on that portion of our territory, and the answer is no. It's not what can we negotiate best. It's what can we avoid to do confrontation. If you're going to continue to insist that the CBSA border agents are going to be armed, our people are continuing to insist that there is going to be no arming, no weapons there. It's simple as that. The people here have said no. It's going to be no. And whether band council or any council sits down and negotiates whatever settlement is, they're going to still have to deal with the people's wishes, because the people, like I said, they are the leadership. They are the power. And any decision making will come from the people.
Sagoyete, to end this interview, I want to ask you about your views on the role that non-native people can play in support and in solidarity with the stand being taken by the community of Akwesasne. What is the role, as you see it, of non-native supporters?
Well, I think the role of non-native supporters is to make sure that nothing happens or escalates there. I mean, we daily see RCMP boats within our waters. We see RCMP helicopters and Canadian Forces planes or whatever they are in our airspace above here. And really, it just keeps continually to push on us. I'm sure there's been millions or billions of dollars being spent in this situation by the government of Canada and basically by the taxpayers of Canada. You know, so I think they should be talking to them to, you know, sit down and understand what the Mohawk people want. They don't want guns there. As myself, I see a bigger issue that technically for us there is no border, you know, and our people have always said from whenever this issue of border and fighting between Britain and the United States, which led to different agreements, that this border would be 20 feet over our heads, meaning that Native people wouldn't be hindered or hampered because it's still our country and we pass through there. Whatever agreement was done to allow this building to be within our territory, I really don't know. I mean, I've been told there's kind of agreements signed and that, and I personally haven't seen them. I've asked to see them. I've asked to see all the different agreements. So myself and a lot of people definitely believe we don't even want customs in our territory, you know, to tell us that we can't cross from one part of our home to the other part of our home is ridiculous. And why is there such an embargo imposed on our people over this issue? It's simple. Don't put your guns in our territory and leave our people alone for free passage. And I don't believe there'd be any kind of problems.
Sagoyete from Akwesasne, a member of the Men's Traditional Council and also part of the Turtle Clan, thank you for taking the time to speak with us on No One's Legal Radio.
I can say nyawa, and thank you for listening to me, and I hope things with your help will be calm and clearer heads will be used in this issue that's happening today.